Let's turn to COP29 in Baku, Azerbaijan, billed as the world's most important meeting on climate change. However, this year, with some of the leaders of the world's biggest economies and biggest carbon emitters staying away, will Azerbaijan have the diplomatic or financial clout to secure significant agreements? A key aim at this year's meeting in Azerbaijan is agreeing on how to get more cash to poorer countries to help them curb their planet-warming gases and to help them cope with the growing impacts of climate change. There was a breakthrough on carbon markets last night. What does that mean? Let's talk to our environment correspondent, George Lee, who's in Baku. George, good morning. Explain
to us, Mary.
Carbon markets and the deal that's been struck.
Well, the deal, I suppose you could overstate, if you were the presidency of COP, exactly what has been achieved. The issue about carbon markets is that when each country has an obligation to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, we know ourselves how difficult that is to deliver. One of the ways of reducing your net emissions is, for example, to have much more carbon sinks like forestry, new forestry, for instance, which will suck carbon out of the atmosphere. So the notion behind it is that it may be very expensive for one country to reduce emissions, so they could pay another country where forests grow really easily to grow those forests for them and support the retention of endangered forests, something that would be wiped out if they didn't get the support. And so they would be the likes of a carbon market that you could begin to trade advantages in one country and sell the advantage of that to a country who's willing to pay for it and sees a great value in that, because there will be fines otherwise. We know in the European Union we'll fine ourselves, but we don't know about how the rest of the world is going to get their emissions down. So how do you get that market working? And there are great difficulties about it. One of the things is it's open to lots of fraud and double dealing. For example, one forest, because they never move, you don't take possession of them, you know, the rights could be sold more than once. You could find that you've paid for carbon reductions in a huge forest which isn't well managed and suddenly goes up in fire. You could find all sorts of issues in relation to, but that was an ancient forest with no risks whatsoever. It's not new carbon sink, and so it's been marketed as a new carbon sink. So there's lots of reasons why there's difficulty about what you're paying for if you have that kind of system. What they agreed last night was the first cornerstone of that, and this is after a long period of years even getting this far. What are the standards that we are supposed to agree in relation to what is tradable? So they got to the point of agreeing new standards. They haven't got any further than that. It means a lot more will need to be done to make sure the carbon markets will operate effectively and who will police them, and, you know, kind of the United Nations will have a role there. How will that work? But it is important insofar as it clears up a problem, that more attention and more investment can now be considered in that area, and that's considered to be an improvement, a way forward, and they're claiming that as a breakthrough, but they're saying that an awful lot more needs to be done.
Well, what else might be achieved during this COP? You have the UN Secretary General addressing the conference today and other world leaders, at least those world leaders that are there. What are they likely to be saying?
Well, they'll say different things, obviously, because there are so many and they have different, coming from different situations with regard to carbon fuel usage and so on, and climate action. But they're all going to know that the issue here is that they're trying to get agreement in relation to people coughing up money, governments and others, which will be made available to the poorest countries of the world. And we're talking about least developed countries, less developed countries and other countries. They're saying that two-thirds of the world are not able to afford the climate action that's required or to adjust their economies to a low-carbon future, and that that's absolutely critical, because if they can't do it, there's very little point in the rest of us bending over backwards to reduce our emissions if they're going to go up everywhere else. So help them. And so they know that the onus is on countries to get on board in relation to that. There also is acknowledgement that governments themselves are not going to be able to provide the amount of money that is required. The money that's required is $1 trillion a year and more of funding for climate action. And there's an acceptance that all the governments together might do a couple of hundred billion, but to get that far, you're going to have news sources contributing. Mm-hmm. So that is difficult. Who will that be? Will it be billionaires, as some people said? Should they be taxed? They talk about their carbon footprint being far greater than most people's and so on, and why they're so wealthy. Lots of discussions about that, but I think the leaders will always be trying to put a positive message forward for themselves about the commitments they're making and so on, and what they're doing in their country, and we'll hear a bit about that today. We know that in our own case, where there has been significant, I suppose you could say significant advances in terms of what we have done legally and in other ways over the last number of years in Ireland to deliver and to move in the direction of climate action, whether it's through climate acts or whether it's through last year we had nearly a 7% reduction in our greenhouse gas emissions. Again, this year they're coming down. So we're making progress. But the Taoiseach won't be here to tell them all about that because he's campaigning for the general election. Usually he would be here or he would come. Certainly during this segment, which starts today and carries on tomorrow, Ireland would have had a position and would lay out a stall. Instead, yeah. Eamon Ryan, who will be arriving here, he'd be around on Wednesday. He'd be looking for a slot later in the week to outline the Irish case. Okay. But he would, I think, have a better story to tell than we have had in recent times.
All right. For now, George Lee in Azerbaijan, thank you very much.